1. We're going to continue our study in Revelation here, just kind of doing some overviews. When you're here in Revelation chapter number 21, remember you are beyond the thousand-year reign of Christ, and you're into the new heaven and the new earth. And we started last time looking at some of the details of the city called the city, the New Jerusalem. If you look at Revelation 21, notice verse 1 again. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So beginning at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, all the way over to chapter 22, verse 5, you're going to be given quite a few details about not just the new heaven and the new earth in general, but in particular, the New Jerusalem. And so we're going to spend some additional time this morning looking at the great city, this the New Jerusalem. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we'll thank you for the time. We do thank you for the time to study your word this morning, and especially as your word is now taking us in our thinking way beyond where we are in time right now, and beyond the thousand-year reign of Christ into the new heaven and the new earth. And as we study some details here about the New Jerusalem, might we have a greater appreciation for all that it is and what it is, what it represents for you and your glorification in your universe forever. In Christ's name, amen. Again, Revelation 21, you can see at verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jump ahead, if you would, to verse 9. And here's where we picked up last week. Verse 9, we just began to touch on some details. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then, beginning at verse 10, all the way to the end of the chapter, and then into chapter 22, all the way down to verse 5, we're given a lot of details specifically about the New Jerusalem itself. And let's just read down through this so you can get kind of an idea of what's involved here. Verse 10, back in chapter 21, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So it's a cube is what it is. Let's keep reading. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is an angel, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophorus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is pretty spectacular, isn't it? Just as you think about this. As we've read down through this passage here, the details that John is given about the New Jerusalem here, what are some things that come to mind? Okay, very good question. We're going to talk about that. The question he brought up is the jewels that are listed representing the foundations here, are they the same 12 jewels of the breastplate that the high priest wore for the 12 tribes of Israel? We'll actually look at that in just a minute, okay? What else? Yes. Yes.
Now, this isn't, all people aren't going to be in the city.
Okay.
It's going to be just part of the world.
That's correct. Okay. Now, before we get into details of the city, that's what you're addressing at.
Can you draw it real quick?
I can. No. Okay. Before we get into the details of the city, I read that on purpose. I mean, I know you can all read it, but I read it on purpose. But my question is this. What are the things that immediately come to mind about this city?
Yeah.
Okay, number one is the beauty of it.
It's crystal clear.
It's crystal clear. So His glory can shine through it. What else is meeting? The sheer size of the city. Good. The riches of the city. Good. What else? It's a real crystal cathedral. Okay. What else? Has the glory of God. And as Tyler just mentioned, that by the walls being transparent, the glory of God is able to light the whole earth and so forth. What else about this city? What's that? 24-hour, right, daylight savings time, okay? What else?
You
can get a lot done. What else do you notice about the city?
No liars,
okay? Limited access. What else do you notice about the city? Again, not so much all the details yet, but what else do you notice about the city? We're missing something huge here. Missing something huge. What's that? There's no temple. Okay, the gates are always open. What's that? What'd you say?
I said, why have gates?
Why have gates if you don't have to close it and so forth? Gates are for access, right? That's a good question. What else do you notice about the city?
It's
totally lit by the glory of God. What else? There's something that's also very important. There's two major things that we're missing so far. The other things are very good. What else? There's no sin. The 12 apostles of the Lamb. You've got 12 foundation, 12 gates, 12 names. See all that? You can't miss that. And you also have, at verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Verse 26, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. You see, when you think about the city, it's huge. I mean, this thing is massive. It's glorious just in terms of its elements, its materials that actually are comprised, that are used for the building of the city, you know, and so forth. It is transparent. The glory of God can shine throughout, outside of it, not just in it. But what is real interesting to keep in mind, and very important to keep in mind, is the foundations of this city, all the numbers in relationship to the city are the numbers of Israel. The Lord Jesus, God the Father promised Moses that Israel was going to be kings and priests on this earth. And in this kingdom here, that's what they are. They're kings and priests on the earth. And the glory of the Gentiles are brought to God. A couple of weeks ago, when we started Revelation 21, I mentioned, if you look back at chapter 21, verse 3, I mentioned this. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." And I use the illustration that sometimes when you read a real good story, you can't help but jump to the end, and the end of the story fills in a lot of details about the beginning. Well, here you're at the end of the story, and you learn a lot in Revelation 21 and 22 about what the original intention was. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, and really this whole rest of this chapter tells us some details about the original intention before the fall ever occurred and so forth. All right? And when you think about what's going on in this city here, you've got the New Jerusalem. This thing is massive. It's come down from heaven out of the presence of God to earth and so forth. And you've got the nation of Israel ruling and reigning in this kingdom on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got the glory of the Gentiles being brought into it. And that picture tells you the original scenario. It tells you the original picture. What's that? Yeah, look what it said back in chapter 21, verse 26. 21, 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The end of the story here tells us what the beginning of the story was to have been. If the fall of man had never occurred, if Adam had not sinned, this city right here would have come down to the earth. Adam would have been sent forth to replenish, subdue, have dominion over the earth, and the glory of the nations would have been brought to this city. You see what's going on? This passage here kind of tells us the beginning, what it was all about. So as we stop and think about its beauty and its size and its majesty, let's remember that even though this is at the end of the Bible, this really sheds a lot of light on what an original intention on this earth was about. Okay? So having said that, now let's go ahead and fill in some details about this particular city. If you'll notice again that she is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is the wife of the Lamb? Is it the church, the body of Christ? No, it's the New Jerusalem in particular is what it is. It's the city, that's correct. Okay. So if you look at verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Now I want to do a contrast here for just a moment before we continue reading this. I want you to go all the way back with me to Luke chapter number 4. Go over to Luke chapter number 4 here. Look over to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4 is Luke's record of the temptation by Satan of the Lord Jesus Christ, this threefold temptation. And you can see at Luke chapter number 4, verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay, now before we read the next one, you got to remember that what is going on in the temptation by Satan of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan comes up, if thou be the Son of God, and so forth, the strategy that Satan is using here is trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ to doubt the Father and or act independent of the Father's will. To these three temptations that the Lord that Satan presents to Christ, all three of these are things that basically prophecy indicates that Christ would do. Satan wants him to do these independent of the Father, hence not according to the right time schedule. Okay? So look at the next one that Luke tells us happens here. Verse 5. And the devil taking him into what? An high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. By the way, you can think a lot about that verse, a lot about the satanic power. He had the capacity to actually do this and to show the Lord Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All right? And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. What is it that Satan offers to Christ here? the power and the glory in a kingdom that will run the world. See that? The power and the glory in a kingdom, in an empire that would run the world. But notice how he did it. Look at verse 5. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain. See that phrase? Now go back to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Watch verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to where? A great and a high mountain. There it is again. You see the parallel here? What Satan had offered Christ back then, he takes him up to a great and a high mountain and shows him an empire, a kingdom, that if you possess that kingdom, then you possess the glory and power of the whole world. The problem is, Christ knew he was going to get New Jerusalem. Satan, in a sense, is offering it to him before it was ever going to be given to him. And Christ says, No, I think I'll wait till the Father gives it to me. You see what's going on there? And this angel in Revelation, he shows John this kingdom. And he says, You know, John, in verse 10, he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Whoever runs that city is the one who's going to have the power and the glory that Satan offered Christ. See that? Satan offered Christ the power and the glory in that kingdom to rule the whole world. He's asking... He says, listen, you're going to get this anyway. Why not just trust me? You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go die. Just trust me. He's asking Christ to act independent of the Father, right? And I'll just give it to you. It's been delivered unto me. I'll give it to you. Just sign up on my team. You'll be second in command. You're going to be second in command anyway to the Father. So why not just do it now to me? You see? And what does Christ do? He, of course, denies it because he's trusting the will of the Father. Isn't that incredible there? What's that? It's what? Prudence, yes, yes. Okay, very good. So now go back to Revelation 21. And again, the angel now shows John. He takes him to this great and high mountain and shows him the holy city in New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Verse 11, it says, Having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even the jasper stone clear as crystal. Somebody made the comment, Tyler, I think you made the comment, that when you look at this city, it's clear, the walls even are clear and so forth, so the light can just, can shine outside of it. It's not limited to this thing, which is very interesting. And then you can see at verse 12 that it had a great wall high and had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That's a real interesting verse. Think about what he just told us. It says, And at the gates, 12 what? Angels and names written thereon, which are the names of what? The 12 tribes of the children of Israel. If you want to know the gates, the name of each of these gates, where can you find them? Yeah, just go look at the names of each of the 12 tribes, okay? The actual names of each of these names is going to have a gate, okay? And then you're told at verse 13, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. Last time we mentioned that this universe has true orientation, true north, south, east, west, and so forth, up and down direction and so forth. And this whole universe is going to take its direction, its true orientation from this city. It'll be divine north, exactly. Okay, there you go. All direction in this universe will come from this city, all orientation. When these verses are telling us that you've got the east three gates and west three gates and so forth, that it's giving you orientation. The way that the city is set up, that's going to be east and so on. You see what I mean? So all orientation on this earth and in this entire universe is going to be taken from this city. Look at what else it tells us. Verse 14, And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So as we mentioned last time, who's not here? Paul. And Judas, that's right, okay? Okay? That's a real interesting thing. Sometimes if you're talking with somebody about the distinctive ministry of Christ and that Paul is not one of the 12 apostles, this is a real good verse to use to say, well, wait a minute. If you say Paul is one of the 12, then what do you do with Matthias and so on and so forth, okay? And we're not there either. That's exactly correct. This is all Israel. The 12. This is Israel, okay? And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. The city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. We'll come back to that in just a minute. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So what therefore do you know about the shape of this city? It's a cube, yeah. Interesting, sometimes you'll see the city drawn as a pyramid. And I haven't been able to figure out why some people draw it that way. But, I mean, when you're told that the breadth, the length, and the height are all equal, the idea I get here is it's a cube. Yeah, I think that's maybe that's why they sometimes do it. But the impression I get here, yeah, this thing is huge.
Yeah, it's going to be picking up.
Yeah, we mentioned last time I did a real rough drawing of the United States and North America, and we said if you wanted to look at the land mass that this is going to cover, if you were to go from San Diego all the way to Louisiana, that would be in a sense the South, okay. Then go from San Diego all the way up into Canada, like in the central Canada area, and then go all the way across the central Canada territory and so forth, just north of Chicago, a big square like that. This thing's massive. Now, don't take me, therefore, to be saying that this city is going to sit over North America. It's not going to sit over North America. It's going to sit over the Middle East is what it's going to sit over. Okay. Okay. Yeah, see, that's massive. Yeah. And high. Yeah, that same distance high. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The New Jerusalem, it really is like a planet, is what it is. It's an actual location. It's a real and it moves. It can fly around. It obviously does right here. It really is like a planet. It's an actual dwelling place. There are obviously people in it. You've got direction. You've got activities going on. You have people coming in and out of it and so forth. It's a fascinating thing to think about. Go ahead. That's right. And it's certainly not going to happen at this point. I'll tell you when global warming is going to happen. Go with me to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. You know when we're talking about, right? Yeah. Look at here's true global warming. Al Gore doesn't know a thing about this one, right? Yeah, 2 Peter 3:10 says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent," what? There's your global warming, okay? The earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's true global. What's that? Yeah, this is pretty rapid global warming there, yeah, so, okay. So, in fact, I've heard, who was it? That guy that does a series on creation, Kent Hovind, he says that the people who believe in evolution and believe in the Big Bang, the only problem is that they put it in the wrong place. Because look at chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." There's your Big Bang. It didn't happen in the past, it's going to happen in the future. So anyway. Okay, Revelation 21 again. Go back to Revelation 21. So you can see this thing is 12,000 furlongs, and as we estimated last time, that's almost 1,500 miles. It's like 1,476 miles, something like that. But this thing is huge, okay? Not only that, the walls, if I remember correctly, look at verse 17. He measured the wall there. Does anybody have a calculator with them this morning? Do you have calculators on your iPods?
Yeah.
A calculator on your iPods, right? Okay, calculate this out. A cubit is about 22 inches. It's somewhere between 18 and 22 inches. So let's figure 22 inches. And it says the wall thereof is 140 and 4 cubits. So what's 144 times 22? 144 times 22. Okay, now divide that by 12 per foot. That's a thick wall right there. That's how thick the wall is.
264 feet.
Yeah. If that's what our calculator said. That's a thick wall, isn't it? This is pretty big. This is pretty impressive.
That's about a football field thick.
That's amazing. It's incredible. Now, because of the sheer size of this thing, not just the thickness of the wall, the size of the wall, because of the sheer size of this thing, this has caused many people, even fundamentalists, to say that, well, maybe the book of Revelation, after all, is just symbols. It's amazing to me how many people who for the most part, are literalists, that when they come to the New Jerusalem, they just cannot picture. They say, no, something that size, that close to the earth, it would totally change the topography of the earth, the gravitational pull, the weather conditions, the environment. Now, what's the answer to that? The answer is, yes, that is what it's going to do. That's exactly what it's going to do. Think about it. When the flood happened, when the depths were opened up, that's the waters out there in the heavens, they were opened up and so forth, and the waters came and destroyed, you know, the earth and everything, it changed things on this earth, right? The earth was set off of its axis and so forth. You had deep gullies and valleys and scars in the earth and high mountains and so forth. So that's all going to be repaired. It's all going to be restored. In fact, you had a new heaven and a new earth. So you don't want to let the size of this city in your mind say, oh man, this is just way too big. It'll totally reorient the earth and it'll affect the climates and the atmospheric conditions. You don't want to say, therefore, this is not true. You want to say, no, that is what prophecy says is going to happen. The curse is going to be gone. A lot of things are going to change. A lot of things are going to remain the same, sin apart, the curse apart and so forth, right? Life's going to go on, things like that. But again, you read some of the commentaries about when people come to this passage and they say, well, this thing's just way too big. It's just way too big. Go ahead. That's a good question. It's in heaven right now as we speak. It's right there right now. God's actually there. And the question is, how does it get here? If you look down at verse 10, here's what you're told at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. And then it says, descending out of God from heaven. So God flies this thing down here. Okay. You talk about massive, computer game or whatever. He flies this thing down here. Okay, isn't that fascinating? This is amazing. The angels with the big lights directing the planes in and so forth. air traffic controllers. Watch out. But that's what happens. This thing comes on down. It has been suggested. I don't know if this. I've not personally studied this out and so forth. But it has been suggested, and it's kind of interesting to think about, that the star that appeared in the east when Christ was born, that it was the New Jerusalem. Kind of interesting. I haven't studied that out, so I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard it suggested, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting to think about that. Okay. Yes, go ahead. Okay, that's a good question. For those of you who didn't hear the question, the New Jerusalem is out there beyond the third heavens right now, and that God controls all that and so forth. And the question was, does God not control everything else in heaven? I don't think you could say that. Satan controls at least the second heavens and a portion of the third heavens. But to say all the rest of it, I don't know that you could actually say that. Okay. All right, let's talk about a couple of other specific things about this New Jerusalem here. Let's move on. So, look at verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. This is a real unique kind of a gold. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Usually when you see gold nowadays, you see it typically in two different forms, two different colors. What do you see? You see a white and a yellow gold is usually what you see. Look over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2 here. And look at verse 8. The Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden. There He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the garden made the Lord God to grow every tree. Verse 10, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. Keep that in mind. And the gold of that land is what? Is good. That's interesting. That little comment there, the gold of that land is good. Most of the gold that you and I see, you know, you go to the jewelry store and everything, we see a yellow or a white gold. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, even white gold seems to have, over the last several years, made it more of a resurgent because for a long time, there just didn't seem to be that much interest in it and everything. But it seems to be coming back around and everything. But there is another gold. And it's that gold that God, that really is the good gold, in a sense. Guess what it looks like? It's clear, which is amazing, isn't it? Okay, you don't typically see that nowadays. You know,
people want you to see their gold.
They want you to see, yeah. Okay, which is kind of interesting. So, and you can see that when God created the earth, let me back up, and I am getting ahead of myself. But when God created this earth, He created it with the intention that He would bring that new Jerusalem and that it would rest on this earth. And that God would be able to not just to, obviously, and man, not just dwell in the New Jerusalem, but man would be able to go outside of the New Jerusalem and live and operate and enjoy the earth, enjoy God's creation and so forth. So when God creates the earth, He created it with elements, with materials that were already in the New Jerusalem. He takes those things that gave pleasure to Him, that He thought were valuable and precious in His city. And when He creates the earth, He puts in the earth those things that were already valuable to Him and precious to Him. And one of them is the issue of the gold. All right? Go back with me, if you would, over now to Revelation 21. Again, let's pick up a couple of other details here. Revelation 21. At verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And as Tyler brought up just earlier in the lesson, in your own personal study time, I want you to make a list of these stones. But look at what they are right now. It says the first foundation was jasper. By the way, how many foundations are there? There's 12 of them, right? The first foundation was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophorus. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12th, an amethyst, okay? So you've got 12. This city, again, you've got to remember it's massive. It's got these thick walls on each side, okay? I mean, obviously, this is just really bad drawing, okay? All right? And you figure you've got, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So you've got, each of these has got a name of the 12 apostles, one of each, right? And then you've got the first foundation, where'd we go here? You've got a jasper, a sapphire, and a chalcedony. So you've got a jasper, a sapphire, and a chalcedony, and so on. You can kind of draw this out when you get home and study this and so forth. The thing that I want you to notice, or one of the things I want you to notice, is that if you look again at verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of what? Precious stones. Come back with me now, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Somebody else, when he was created, was decked with precious stones. And it'd be real interesting to make a list of these stones here. Okay? Look at Revelation 28. You should have Revelation chapter number 28. Ezekiel 20, I'm sorry, yeah. Ezekiel 28. Look at Ezekiel 28 and start with me at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. When God created, it's interesting, when God created this creature here, this was the anointed cherub that covereth, God decked the anointed cherub with covereth with what He called precious stones. Now there are, if I counted correctly, there are 10 of them listed here if you include gold in as one of them. Okay? The foundation of this city has 12 foundations, 12 precious stones. Lucifer here, as the anointed cherub with the covering, he was clothed with 10 of the materials that you find in that New Jerusalem. All right? Make a list sometimes in cross-reference. You can see which ones are here and which ones are not there and so forth. Now, why, think about the fact that God is the one, it says, every precious stone. Who called these things precious? God did. If you want to know what stones are precious to God, look at your lists right here. It's not man who identified from an eternal perspective what stones are precious and what are not. God is the one who identified these as precious stones. See that? Now then, the passage, what Tyler was talking about, if you go over to Exodus, go to the book of Exodus here. Look over to Exodus 28. Now watch this. Exodus 28, the breastplate that the high priest was to wear. Exodus 28:15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work and so on. Verse 16. Four square it shall be being doubled. Verse 17. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. Are you still in Revelation 21?
No.
Okay. Tell you what. You go to Revelation 21, and I'll read the one in Exodus 28, and let's just do a quick comparison here. All right? And as I read it off, you just check and see if it's on your list in Revelation 21. Okay? So Exodus 28, the first row, you've got a sardis. That's foundation number 11, I think. No, that was adjacent. See that? The sixth is the sardis. See that there? Okay, next you've got a topaz. The topaz was the ninth. You've got a carbuncle. I don't think a carbuncle is there, if I remember correctly. Okay, then you've got an emerald. Emerald is the fourth foundation. A sapphire. The sapphire is the second foundation. And a diamond. I don't think a diamond was there. Okay. Then you've got the third row is a ligure, that's not there. An agate, that's not there. But an amethyst is there, that's the 12th. And then you've got the fourth row, a beryl, that's there. That was the 8th foundation. An onyx, that could be the 5th one, the sardonyx. See that? And then a jasper, and of course the jasper is there. So what's kind of interesting to think about is that if you take and make a list of these stones, obviously there's a parallel here. The high priest was to wear he's to wear that breastplate. It is a square and so forth, and he's got the rows of precious stones. Each of those stones clearly represents the 12 tribes of Israel. That's who they are. And they're born upon his heart. The high priest carried the nation of Israel on his heart, as well as on his shoulders, by the way. Okay, but in this breastplate, they set these precious stones. It's God who identified these stones as precious stones. Now, when you look at the list over in Revelation chapter 21 there, he also calls them precious stones. They don't all match up by name. So you've got a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that it's just a different name for a same stone in Revelation. And that's certainly a possibility. Another possibility is that there's a whole lot more than 12 precious stones. And that's also a possibility. Okay? But it's obvious that when you see that New Jerusalem, its beauty and so forth, the size, the number is the number of Israel. You've got the 12 precious stones, and then the high priest himself wore those precious stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. God considers the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes to be as precious to him as are these stones. Isn't that something? Yes, the materials that he was covered with. He didn't have all 12 and everything. What's that? 80%, okay? All right. Real quickly, go back with me then to the book of Revelation. We're just about out of time here. Let's pick up a couple of other details here, and we'll pick up next time as well. So then, if you look at verse 21, and the 12 gates wore 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. You ever heard the song they sing about, I'm going to walk on the streets of gold? That's what they're talking about, okay? But what in the world is this issue about these 12 gates were 12 pearls? Every several gate was of one pearl? That's one big oyster. In fact, it's 12 big oysters, if there's 12 gates. Think about how big that is. That's one very irritating oyster. These things are massive. These are just massive pearls here. And again, because of the size of the city and the size of what these foundations have to be and the size of these pearls and so forth, that's why some people have said, well, no, this is just not real. This is just all figurative. But I ask, why? Why make size the limiter? Yeah. I mean, how big is the earth? How big is Saturn? How big is the sun? How big is the universe? Why is this a problem? Since when has that been a problem for God? Yes. Yeah. So anyway, this is just some additional things to think about here. We're pretty much out of time. What's that? Oh, well, isn't that a good one? He created man's ego. That's plenty big. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe man's ego is part of the fall, but part of the fall. So, but that's still pretty big, right? All right, we'll pick up here next time. There's a lot of other details about this. If you want to just spend some time thinking about the city and thinking about it's fascinating to think about all the ramifications. If all this is real, and it is real, that, you know, what therefore does it mean? It's really spectacular. Okay? All right, we'll pick up here next time.